This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Thank you, Albi. And thank you, guys, and for having me here. What a privilege to be here again. I think I've been here, I think, two or three times before. I also played our financial game here.
Yeah, you guys, awesome.
I can't remember who else. But yeah, it was an awesome moment, and it's nice to be here again with you guys. And I just want to start off with a story. I just read the story yesterday, and I mean, it really touched me. And I don't know who of you have heard of a guy called Charles Blondin. So this guy lived in the mid 1800s, and he was acrobat, did acrobatic stuff. And this guy went extreme. He took a cable and put it over the Niagara Falls in America, and was about 400 meters long and 50 meters high above those big Niagara Falls, and it was all, you know, that noise and stuff. And he decided he wanted to walk over that falls. And he went, and he made it, and he actually came back. And he became bold, and then he walked over that with a sack, like Socrates, you know. He walked over, went over with a sack, and then he came back, and he actually once went over with the stove, and on his way baked the omelette.
Oh, no.
I don't know how the stove looked or what type of stove, but that's what the story says. And then the crowd started coming on each side of the falls to watch this phenomenon, this guy walking. And then he walked over that piece of cable backwards, and he came back with a wheelbarrow. He actually also went over with a bicycle once. So this time when he came back with the wheelbarrow, he asked the crowd, "Who believe that I could go back the same way with the wheelbarrow?" And everyone said, "Yeah, wow, yeah, absolutely. We've seen you do it. We were here. We saw it. You can really go back." And then he asked the question, he said, "Who of you believe that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and go over this Niagara Falls?" Everyone said, "Yeah, for sure. No, we believe you can do it." Sorry. And then he asked, "Okay, who would be that person?" You know, just reading that story, I thought, "Oh, I think he can go with the wheelbarrow. I mean, he did it a few times, and I'm sure he could take someone over." I mean, the guy went with the bicycle. Yeah, but then when he said, "Who will be there?" I thought, "I'm fighting the crowd." You know? But I believe we see and we hear Christ doing all these wonderful things, all these miracles in His Bible, in His Word. We read about these things, and we're gonna step into a series called The Seven Miracles of John. That is, and God's inviting us into a miracle. But sometimes we say, "Jesus, can I really be part of that?" And I believe this morning even, God is inviting us into His wheelbarrow. He wants to push us. And you know, you will experience the miracles as you go. But like the disciple, it took faith to step out of that boat. And when the leper came to Christ, Christ healed, but as he went, he got healed. You know, and God took water, and as they took it out of the vessel, it became wine. Sometimes God says, "Would you get into the wheelbarrow? Are you prepared to take the risk, to walk with me, and to trust me so that you can see miracles in your life?" Isn't that amazing? So let us get into our series, and we're going to talk about the first miracle of John. And it's in John 2 about the wedding of Cana. But before I go there, I want to start in John 1. And I just want to read there in John 1 verse 1 to 4. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Isn't that amazing God? Isn't that a great God? The God that spoke the word and earth was formed. A God that is the word. And it says in verse 9, it says, the true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. God came into this world. Why? I believe Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. Rory Dyer says it very well. He says, heaven is not our destiny. The Father is our destiny. And he explains it in this way. He says, when a soldier comes back from war, he doesn't come back to his house. He comes back to his family with whom he has a relationship. And when he's away, let's say that family moves, he will not go back to that house. He will go to where they have moved, because he goes back to with whom he has a relationship. He goes back to his family. And I also believe there's many other reasons why Jesus came. And today we're going to talk about one of those reasons as well. And I want to read to you there in John 2 verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And I believe that's also a great reason why Jesus came. Jesus came for a wedding. Jesus, as the bridegroom, came for his church, the bride, for you and me. Jesus came for a wedding. And I also believe that in this chapter, Jesus came to that specific wedding to do miracles so that his disciples and people could believe in him. And I also believe that this wedding is like, Gideon said, it's like a foreshadow of why Jesus came. And he reveals this. And it's interesting that it's the first miracle is a wedding. And it's exactly that. Because Jesus is actually declaring why he has also come. For a wedding, to come and to invite his bride into a place, you and me, to come and give us something new, some life. And I want us to just go into that and talk about that. And it says there, and the mother of Jesus were there. It's very interesting that the mother of Jesus was also there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And I just want to pause there as well, because I want to ask you, invite Jesus into every area of your life. Invite him into your finances. Invite him into your family. Invite him into your relationships, into your house, into your place where you work, into your business. Invite him into your marriage, into every aspect of your life. Because I want to tell you, if Jesus steps into that place, he will turn water into wine. Jesus, if you invite Jesus into that place, he will do miracles. He will do the natural, but Jesus will do the supernatural. Invite Jesus into your space, into your place. And it says there, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. What does a mother represent? Mother represents caring, loving, compassion, protection, provision. Am I right? And I think the mother of Jesus just reflected that side of Christ. Because Jesus did give his people wine. In the beginning, he gave his people the law, the covenants, the statutes. He gave them wine. He said, if you do these things, you will be prosperous. When they came out of Egypt, he said, slaughter a lamb and take the blood and put it on your posts of the door. And when the enemy passed by, he couldn't come in because Jesus was there and protected them. And Jesus said to them, every year the priest will slaughter a lamb and the blood will be a sign that your sins are forgiven. Jesus did give them wine. But that wine ran out. A time came when that wine was finished. And Jesus, having compassion, caring, loving his people, want to protect his people, came to give new wine.
came to this earth as a bridegroom to say that I'm going to give my life. I've come to give you new wine. It's not through your works, through your efforts anymore, but now it's through my grace, through faith and through love that you will be saved. Jesus, I believe Jesus came here and he said, the time of the old wine has run out, it's finished. And there's a time of new wine. I want to give you a new cup to drink of. I want to invite you into a new place. I want to give you new wine. And that wine is better than the old wine, which was also good. But there's a new, a better wine that I want you to taste. I want to prove this to you as well. And Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" It has all to do with me. My hour has not yet come. You see, Jesus was showing to the moment, to the hour, when he was going to pour out the new wine. We read there in John 7, verse 30. It says this, and he was busy preaching and in Jerusalem, and they were searching for his life. And verse 30 says, "So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour has not yet come." And even John 12, verse 27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour." Can you see, people, that Jesus says that there's an hour, there's a moment when I'm going to pour out some new wine. There's a moment when Jesus gave himself on the cross so that you and I can be saved and step into that place where we step into that wedding celebration and become a bride of Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just reading through this, I said, Jesus, wow, isn't that amazing? You've come to give us new wine. You, as a bridegroom, came to the bride. And John talks about Jesus in John 3, verse 29, he says, "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom." So Jesus came to give us new wine. But how does this bride look? I want to read to you. Then in John 2, verse 6 says, "Now there were six stone jars, water jars." Let me read that again. "Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification." People, sometimes we as the bride are like those six stone water jars. See, when I think of a stone, is something that you go to a quarry and you dig this big rock out, and then you start to, and I'm just picturing what they did in those times, and then you start to chisel and chop out this piece of block of stone, and it starts to, and you form that stone so it can become something useful. And isn't that many times us as the bride, we go through a time when we are transformed, when we are chiseled, when we are shaped. And it's not always a nice thing to go through, am I right? Sometimes it's a lonely place to be. And many times we ask, "Lord, why is this happening in my life? Lord, why am I going through this?" And many times it's something that happens on the one side. No one really knows what I'm going through. I feel lonely. And I'm feeling, you know, you can walk into a place where there's a lot of people. I'm going to tell you, there's people there that's hurt, that's being shaped, that's being chiseled, that's being transformed. And you won't really know because we walk around with these masks. People don't always see these things because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want people to see because then we feel weak. We don't want to show this to the world, so we carry this mask. But I'm telling you today, you will probably go through those moments in life where you feel that Christ is chiseling you, chopping some things away, forming you for something, because he's got a plan for your life. We read there in Isaiah 51, verse 1, it says, Isaiah, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look at the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. See, look to that place and be reminded that there was a time in your life when God formed you, shaped you a bit. I remember when I gave my life to Christ. Suddenly, I lost friends. I almost felt alone. And I wanted to do many things, and I didn't know how to do it. And I made a lot of mistakes. And in that time, God shaped me and formed me because He had a plan for my life. 1 Kings 6 verse 7 says, when the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry. You see, people, God has a plan for your life. He's preparing you, He's shaping you, because He wants to build you into His house. You've got a part to play in the house, in the kingdom of Christ. And that's why God is shaping us, so that we can carry some water. And jars are something precious, if we read in the Bible. It's used to store things up, oil, and even the Dead Sea Scrolls were kept in jars for years, many, many years, and was found later. Jars are something precious to Christ, and therefore, He wants to shape you. And look at the quarry, don't despise those moments when you go a bit through hardships, because when you're through them, you'll have a passion for those things, and you'll be able to help others. Because God wants to fill you with some water. You know, six is a symbol of man. It's our efforts. And stone was also the thing that God wrote the law on. Am I right? And water they used to purify. So many times I try and do things in my effort, in my ability. And I'm religious as well. I do things religiously. Because just before the wedding, people came and there was these six stone jars filled with water. And people would come and they would clean themselves there. Because I had sandals and it was desert. And, you know, a lot of dust and their hands were probably dirty. And it was a place where they cleaned themselves. And they washed themselves with water. But Jesus wants to purify. He wants to change the water into wine. He wants to break the old and give us the new. He wants to break the religious and give us life. He wants to change the water into wine. He wants to come and do something new. And many times, as the bride, we are like those stone jars, being shaped and being transformed so that we can carry something that Jesus can use to do a miracle with. But many times in the kingdom of Christ, as the bride, we are also like the servants. Jesus' mother said then, verse 5, His mother said to the servants, do whatever He tells you. And isn't that us many times? Also, we say, Jesus, I'm your servant, Lord. Use me, Lord. I want to do whatever you tell me, Lord Jesus. I want to be used in your kingdom. And it says there, Jesus, verse 7, Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. You see, Jesus works through his church. We are servants of Christ. Because there's so many vessels that need to be filled with water. Jesus said, come and fill these vessels to the brim. Will you come? Can I work through you? Take water and fill these vessels, but not only fill them, draw from them. Use them. Teach them. Disciple them. Will you fill God's vessels with water? Are you a carrier of life? Will you go out and fill the vessels? There's people that need the church. There's people that's going through things, going through hardships. And we as a church, we say, Jesus, as your servant, we want to fill your vessels so that you can come and do a miracle in their life and change water into wine. I want to show you something. I can't remember if I've shown this to you before, but this was so profound to me because it really just
said to me who I am and who the Father wants to be through me. And I want to read it to you then in Genesis 5, verse 2. And just to show you that servanthood is part of our DNA. You cannot run away from it. You cannot hide from it. It's who you are. If you have come to the wedding and you say, Jesus, use me, I'm a servant, then this is you. It's in your DNA. It's part of you. And it comes, there's a natural hunger in you to be used by Christ. It says in Genesis 5, verse 2, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and named them Adam. In the original, he named them Adam when they were created. And I will show this to you. We are all called Adam. Am I right? Now, in the Hebrew language, Adam is written like this. I don't know who's seen this before. This is amazing. I'm going to get a pen that works better. So that's a Hebrew word. How you spell Adam. That's a aleph, a dalet, and a mem. Now every letter has a symbol. The symbol for an aleph is the head of an ox. And for the dalet, it's a symbol of an open door. And for the mem, it's a symbol of water. Now the ox head is for authority and leadership and represents the Father. And an open door is just what it is, and water is life. So this is built into our DNA, who we are. We are an open door through which the Father wants to bring life to this world. Amazing. God wants to use you. When you say yes to Jesus, you become a servant of the Father and an open door for the Father that is a carrier of water. A stone jar that carries water, carries life, through which the Father wants to do miracles in this world. And how is the Father going to do it? Through this word. This word symbolizes blood. Jesus is dying on the cross. He's giving his life. And through the blood of Jesus, he comes and he wants to change water into wine. He wants to give life. He wants to come and save this world. Isn't that amazing? You know, everyone knows this is a glove. But what do we do with this glove? What would you say? Gardening, yes, 100%. What else is this glove for? Protect your hands. There's many things, am I right? Now this glove, can it function in that? As it is? No, it can't. Why not? Because it needs a hand. It needs a hand. You see, this glove is like the church of Christ. But it needs you. And Christ wants to come through you. And he wants to bring his church together. He wants to bring his bride in. But he needs you as a servant to say, Jesus, I will fit into that love. I will fit into your plan for my life. I will be a part of what you want to do. So that your church can come alive and function in what it's called for to do. Sometimes we like those stone jars. Sometimes we like a servant also. But as a church, we can also be like the bridegroom who organized this. And I want to read that to you in John 2, verse 9. It says, when the master of the feast tasted the water now became wine and did not know where it came from, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Sometimes we like the bridegroom. You know, when a bridegroom wants to marry
his bride, they organized this massive event. They spend some money, some time, some resources, and they get food and things to drink and make this place not looking nicer. Then they invite people into that space. Sometimes, as a bride, we are that bridegroom for others, where we as a church create environment where people can come to. Where people can come to that celebration, where Jesus can come to that place. We create things and like events where people can come to and where Jesus can do miracles. And Sunday morning celebration is one of those events that we organize. And people can come here and Jesus can do miracles in their life. Isn't that amazing? But sometimes we should also be like the master of the feast and testify. Tell the world, wow, look what God has done. No, look at this awesome wine. Where does it come from? What happens? And I'm sure the word spread there. People believed it. And the disciples believed. And that's the bride of Christ. You know, Jesus came. He sacrificed himself. He gave his life. He came to give us new life, new wine to drink. And as the bride, we get shaped. As a bride, we serve in Christ's kingdom. As a bride, we work together as a church to create places where this world can come in and experience a miracle. As the bride of Christ, we testify of what God has done. And I want to show you something, and probably most of you have seen this, but it's so profound. I just want to share this with you. Maybe we can give out some wine and have communion together before I go into this and end off with this story. Do communion. I just want to tell you the story, and I think most of you have heard it, but just let God just remind you of how great it is. So in a certain culture, in the Jewish culture, when a young man wants to ask a lady to marry him, he would invite her to a place at his hometown where he has got the stable, and he would invite her close family, and they would stand there with her, and then his family would come and stand here with him. Who heard this story before? Awesome. Not many. Okay, so it's awesome. So, and then his family would stand here with him, and then when he symbolically wants to ask that lady to marry him, he would put a glass in front of her, and then he would pour some wine into that glass. And he would do this because he loves her. She's beautiful. He wants to marry her. He wants her to become his bride. And therefore invites her to this place and pours some wine in a glass. And for her to accept his invitation, she would then take a sip from the wine. And then she would go with her family back to where she lives. And he would go to his father's house. And then in those days, on top of his father's house, he would build another room. And then when he completed that room, he would go back and he would go and fetch his bride. They would get married and she would come live with him on top of his father's house. And Jesus does the same. Jesus comes and he invites you and me. He puts a glass before us and say, would you be my bride? Would you marry me? Would you join me? Would you drink this new wine and become part of something new? And I want to read to you then John 3, verse 3. There was a man, Nicodemus, and he saw that Jesus did all these miracles. And he believed, and then he came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And this is what Jesus answered him in verse 3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, people, when we sit there and Jesus gives us invitation, we must see the goodness of this. We must see Christ. We must see who he is for us. But then Nicodemus asked him, how can we be born again? And Jesus said this to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, people, we cannot just see the goodness of Christ. We cannot just view the invitation. We must enter into that. We must enter into that place and say, yes, Lord, I see you, Jesus. But yes, Lord, I also choose you, Lord. I enter into that place, Lord, into that wedding space. And I want to become your bride, Lord Jesus. I want to enter into a relationship with you, Father. I want to become your son and daughter. And I want to ask you this morning, if that is you, yes, I know when we dream this, it reminds of us of what Jesus has done on the cross. That Jesus came and he poured out his new wine. But may this also be that moment of invitation where you just, as the bride, say, yes, Lord. As I drink this, I say yes to you, Jesus. I say, yes, Lord. I want to be your bride, Lord. And then Jesus says, I'm going back and I'm preparing a place for you at my Father's house. And I will come back and I will come to collect my bride. I'll come and take you. And I will take you back and you will come and live with me forever. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something to say yes for? Amazing. Maybe we can just use his communion in that way. And I can maybe pray for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you have shed your blood on the cross, Lord Jesus. You have come and given us a new one, Father. New one, Jesus, in you, Christ. Father, in this morning, you are saying, this is my blood that I've poured out for you because I love you. I care about you. But this is also my invitation to say, would you be my bride? Would you marry me? Would you live with me? Would you walk with me? Would you enjoy a life with me? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes. Thank you, Lord, that we can be servants, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can fill your jars with water, Father. Because I know, Lord, you want to do miracles in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can testify of your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we can be part of a church that creates celebrations where people can come to and where miracles can happen in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you shape us, Father, that you form us, Father. Lord, it's exciting because we know that you're making something better. You're bringing something better, Lord. We can carry life in us. Come, Lord, come work through us, Father. We are an open door for you, Jesus. Come, Father. Come through your doors, Father. Use us to touch people's lives. Lord, there where we sit now, we say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you. Do whatever he tells you to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.